Dear Diary, I was reading the Old Yorker during this morning's constitutional when I came across some stuffy science dude writing about probability. He said that infinite monkeys on infinite typewriters with infinite time could eventually write Hamlet. Now, I met Shakespeare back when I haunted Stratford-upon-Avon, and let me just say, dude's operating capacity is like 20 to 25 monkeys tops. But it got me thinking, what if I had my own army of creativity monkeys? Because I think I know exactly where to find some.
That probably won't come back in.
No, definitely not. I mean, everything he says is so silly. And
so silly.
Like,
what a silly
all of
guy.
It's silly jokes, and none of it is, like, big.
I think the thing that I most come away with when I think about Dracula is, what a silly little guy.
A silly little guy.
Is my one contribution to the Adventure Zone canon as a GM, is my one contribution to the form that you're allowed to have a narrator that everyone can hear for no reason, and then they just have to deal with it.
Yes.
I feel like that is my, if I've elevated the form.
The form
in some
has
way.
Changed, yeah. The game has changed.
In some contribution, yeah.
Because sometimes it's hard to fit a guy in there who says stuff that's like important.
Well, let's be honest. It's a stopgap between the weirdness of sitting here talking about how our kids won't sleep, and then one of us is like, I'm Dracula now.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, okay, well,
it's a table setter.
Yeah, let's build.
An amuse-bouche of Dracula.
Right?
I would almost say, Juice, that you are also the originator of the concept of a narrator, and then a narrator going into the narrator.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Think
that's
about true. It. Steeplechase, yeah.
So, the three of you have circumnavigated the gargoyle trap I set for you outside, and it's one of my best ones. So,
you think we circumnavigated that? I feel like we solved it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we dealt with the situation. Like, circumnavigating would be like,
different?
I'm walking around.
Yeah,
was we there... did, like, a lot of things to it to make it go
well,
away.
Check it out. These
we
mean
gave
guys...
him pornography. What
these mean
was
guys,
the other solution?
These mean stone guys were going to push you off the castle to die, mm-hmm. and that didn't yeah. happen. So,
but Griffin, you
were
did
we a, supposed we... to let them do that to solve the puzzle?
You wanted us to die?
Well, no, because you figured it out. You
so
got
we
around.
Solved it. We didn't circumnavigate the puzzle.
Yeah,
we
right.
solved the puzzle.
Okay. You
like if I put together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, you wouldn't be like, oh, really worked your way around that one.
Yeah, you just solved
it. I don't think circumnavigate means to like,
it means to go around it.
Go around it.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. You got around these gargoyles without them killing you. Okay? And
okay.
that's good.
Okay.
And
I mean, I still
super proud of
feel
you.
Like you're doing us justice.
That sounded so insincere, Griffin. Are you yeah. proud of us or not?
I'm proud. I am so proud.
Oh, my God.
I'll be proud when you kill Dracula. I'm reserving prizes.
It's so hard to please.
Yeah, I know. You all have made it into the rear entrance of the castle. You found yourself in a small sort of sewer outpipe. It is gross in here, but not so gross that you take, like, doogie damage or anything like that. This is, you get the impression, sort of the last chance you have to chill or plan before things, before you head up the spiral staircase in front of you into the castle proper. So if there's anything you need to ready or prepare before that happens.
Well, I would ask this. Is it wild to take a long, restful...
Dookie rest.
A long feast and rest inside Dracula's Dookie alcove? Is that weird?
It's not...
I could really use a break.
Is there a nook in here that we could perhaps squirrel away and maybe have a little less Dookie exposure?
If you guys wanted to take a long rest in here, we could figure that out. It would be the grossest place you've ever slept. Right. It would be the worst and grossest place you've ever slept.
You don't know that.
Philo's not worried because he has a coating of shellac. So he's Griffin, pretty safe from the Dookie.
That's cool.
I love you, and I'm not, I don't want to belabor this, but you said to us, your last time to rest is here in this Dookie prison.
Sure, rest I...
And then you're like getting all... Getting your feathers in a twist, because we're like, all right, we'll rest here in the shit like you want us to.
Well, I was assuming this would be a rest of a short variety. I think...
I have 12 hit points. It will not be a short rest. It will be a long rest.
How do you have 12
hit points? We definitely took a long rest back at the outcropping.
Yeah. You had a...
And we haven't fought shit since then.
Yeah, you have not fought shit. You all should be fairly hale and hearty. I don't know if you took any damage from the these gargoyles.
I didn't tell you guys, but I stood watch while you slept.
Oh, a brave so sentinel. That is actually a feature of Brother Philo, that he does not need to go completely dormant when he sleeps. So it's a bit redundant.
I know, that's what made the sacrifice even more beautiful unnecessary.
Well, if you want to retcon and say that you did take a long rest, then that's fine. Or you guys can camp out in this sewer approximately 45 minutes after getting up from your last long rest.
Woo! I'm bushed. No, we can keep moving.
Let's see. I just realized I have a light source for my hat. Uh-huh. And, of course, Lady Godwin has a light source.
Man, you're definitely going to have to re-up that, right? That light source was from when we were in the cave or we was fighting the anglerfish or whatever.
Do you know what's weird? When you're the Turbo Cardinal, actually, when you cast light, it's forever.
Oh, man.
Well, I just think if we get separated, it would be good for Mutt to have a light source. I am going to use my last infusion.
Wait, hold on. You don't have to do that, man. I have light. I can cast light on things.
You'll like this light, okay? You'll really like this
Who
light.
Who are you sneaking this past, man? Just tell me what you're doing.
I'm going to replicate a magic item, which is a new ability that I have at level
Brag.
6. I am going to create a lantern of revealing and give it to Mutt.
Do you have one already that you're replicating?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean...
That's creation, man.
Replicating implies that you're replicating a thing, and I don't know that you have one of these to replicate. Do you have one you're replicating?
You replicate a particular magic item, and you create it.
I guess this is more like the replicator on the spaceship.
There you go.
Yes, as far as I can tell, this is not... It's not a copy of a thing. You just
created.
Right.
Travis is with me though.
It's a wild power. Okay, so what does the Lantern of Revealing do, Clint?
The Lantern of Revealing. Hold on. Lantern of Revealing.
Hold on, as if you have something else you're going to.
While lit, the hooded lantern burns for 6 hours on 1 pint of oil, shedding bright light in a 30-foot radius and dim light for an additional 30 feet. Invisible creatures and objects are visible as long as they are in the lantern's bright light.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Ooh, that's cool. That's a good idea, Dad.
I thought this would come in very handy.
I thought that was going to be a bad
idea. For Mutt. No. I turned the bad idea into a good idea.
Yeah, that's right, man. Love that.
And here you go, Mutt.
Yeah.
This little light of thine, you're going to let it shine.
Should I hide it under a bushel or something?
Well, that's fine if you want to take the theological reference.
No, I'm going to let it shine.
All right, let it shine.
Can I?
Can I ask you two a question?
Yes.
Before we proceed?
You just did.
Well, it occurs to me we've been very sure of ourselves to this point. Rightly so. Fearsome. If we arrive and Dracula proves obviously too much for us to deal with,
mm-hmm.
are we willing to run? I know the impulse, of course, is to say no. Everyone wishes to be heroic, but is this a cause we would die for? I will speak first and say, frankly, I'm not quite sure. I wanted to see how you two felt.
So, Lady Godwin, I think that's an excellent question, but here's the way I look at it, man. Basically, I'm not looking at this from, like, a cause kind of way. More of, like, when you're surprised by a predator, right? If you're in the woods and you come upon a predator, you have, like, a couple options, right? You make yourself big, try to scare him away. You fight him, right? You run, you play dead, that kind of thing. And there are some situations where the most dangerous thing you can do is run. Mm. And I just get the suspicion that if we're trying to outrun Dracula and whatever he's got in there on their home turf and then get out of the stranglemire without getting caught, that's going to prove more dangerous than just, you know, standing and fighting or hiding or whatever. You know what I mean?
Once we've struck at Dracula, he'll leave us little window to escape.
Yeah, man, he's not just gonna let us go, you know? But the way I look at it is, up until now, been moving forward with purpose, and the purpose being we got a goal that we're working towards, and questioning that goal now when we're so close to, like, trying, and either you try and you fail, or you try and succeed. So really, the way I look at it, we got a 50-50 chance of this thing going well.
Well, I suppose that's true.
It's almost as good as even odds.
Yeah, okay. I suppose that's right. Well, if the die will be cast after our first strike, I'll make my first strike lopping off his fucking head.
That's very good. I like that. You had success with that with the Wolfman, so that worked out well.
You know,
well.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
I found, I fear repeating myself, of course. Consider myself an artisan.
Well, you can do just a signature at this point. You know what I mean?
Well, it's in the details. The polish.
Yes. Oh, the flourish is beautiful. Now, listen, as far as the plan goes, I don't...
Oh, what a... that's excellent. Yes.
Wait, yeah. Wait. We're going to plan?
Now, hear me out, because I don't want to... Now I'm overpromising, because I don't have a capital P plan so much. Cause I got a little pee plan.
Little pee plan?
A little pee plan.
Look at that little pee plan.
Here's what, the only kind of pieces that we know, right, that are kind of useful to us is right now, if you were to cut Dracula's head off, I think, like, a little Dracula body grows off of that, right?
And hysterical, then but non-helpful.
Yeah. So it seems to me that before we can put Dracula down for good, right, we need to, now that he's moved on from whatever power on was given him, figure out what's happening with the Frankenstein thing and how he's able to keep that regeneration going. And so my original thought had been just get in there, kill Dracula, get out before, I don't know, whatever other people are there.
Oh.
But
I hadn't considered that Dracula's replication is a not just one of his many abilities, but a new occurrence.
Well, I mean, maybe it's new, maybe it's not, but we're kind of going in there without knowing all the details of you know, the object of our hunt.
We know that destroying will likely not be purposeful. Perhaps the best we can hope for is to bind with Excalibur.
Oh, see, I was kind of more hoping we'd find a book in Frankenstein's that was like, how to kill Dracula, but I see what you're saying, and I think, yeah, maybe the sword, I could, like, stick him in the ground real hard, and then he wouldn't be able to get past the hilt, the cross guard kind of deal, maybe?
Friends, hold on one moment. I'd like to phone a friend. Hold on.
You got a phone?
Oh, yeah, good idea. Van Helsing, can you take over and have a discussion with the gang here?
Yeah. Yes, I can do that. Can you apologize for the sound? It's so embarrassing.
Which sound? What sound?
The sound it makes when we switch.
Oh, I have grown fond of it. So go ahead, make the sound.
Hey, guys, it's me, Van Helsing.
You got to warn us about that sound, man.
I asked the Philo, too, but he didn't do it. What do you need?
Did you hear our conversation?
Yes, you're talking about how to kill Dracula.
Yeah, capital K, kill. Lasting kill. Is the regeneration thing new? Do you know?
Yes, that was sort of the blessing and the curse of On, was the regeneration, one of his powers. That was something I had to deal with. If you stake him right in the heart with a piece of wood, that is usually enough to destroy the body outright. Fire can also do it, but good luck getting him to stand still long enough to burn. I had a lot of trouble with that. Sunlight also can neutralize the effect, but there hasn't been sunlight in On Grave for many years. He can't cross running water. The garlic thing, I never quite... It's hard to test that one, isn't it?
What about the rice thing, man? When you throw the rice down, they gotta count the rice. We tested that?
No, that's not Dracula's. That's actually mummies.
Oh, okay,
yes,
man.
Yes, which is weird.
Salt? Where are we at with salt? Salt circles?
It's good in moderation, but as a physician, I must warn you that... high sodium can actually be quite deleterious to us.
Now, sorry, when you say, like, stake him in the heart and the sunlight and the garlic and stuff, does that stop him from regenerating, or is that just, like, obliterate him for now and he'll come back?
A little of column A, little of column B. Sunlight can stop the regeneration, but I
Abe?
Hold on 1 second.
Can I jump in here? fellows, if we killed On, have we not prevented the regenerations?
Huh.
If the power to regenerate came from On, and we killed On, the god, remember the god we snuffed?
Oh, yes. I'm still enjoying
then I would say extra level. Killing Dracula now will be a permanent killing of Dracula now.
I mean, that's the hope, man, but, like, there's a lot of Draculas out there.
Run it by Abe. Abe?
Yes, I can hear it when you speak. I'm inside you. It's possible. I also think that there's every chance that by binding On with Excalibur in the first place, Dracula cut off his attachment to that power. So I think we can assume that the fact that Dracula still has power, can turn into a bat and all that stuff, even after he betrayed On and pierced him with the Holy Blade, that any hopes for a weakening of him by that power that he bound is perhaps a bit foolhardy. But I do not underestimate this enemy. I assure you, he would not allow himself to be weakened.
So here's the thing, man. All this is coming back to the information that I know we've got.
Wait.
Just to raise the question, are mm-hmm. we sure we can trust this Van Helsing?
Yeah, man, it's Van Helsing.
Yes, but how do we know this is the real Van Helsing? How do we know that the things he's telling us about Dracula aren't the exact opposite?
Why would he do that?
Why wouldn't he do that?
Oh, shit.
I don't
know. Okay, Van Helsing, tell me something only Van Helsing would know.
Very good.
I mean, I could say a bunch of doctors.
What's your middle name?
Van.
How oh, yeah, I can't fold
them. Abraham no, Van, Van Helsing.
No, it is, my name is Abraham Helsing, and Van is my middle name. It's just people assumed, and I was too polite and uncomfortable to correct.
Were your parents big Van Wilder fans?
They were huge Van Wilder fans.
Okay, yes, that's him.
Did they drive a minivan? Can I come back now?
Wait, hold on. So the only piece of information we got, right, is that Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, knows a lot about Dracula at this point, right?
That, I suppose, is to be assumed if he lives in this castle with him, yes.
So if we find Frankenstein, and get the information from him however we can.
I do not know how cooperative the doctor would be, but yes, I suppose if there were a secret, right, he would be the one to know.
Right now, we don't have any decisions to make because we can't see anything.
That's true.
Let's go fuck around.
And find out.
Let's fuck around and find out.
Yes, good luck. Whoop!
Oh. Shouldn't we let Van Helsing pilot? I mean...
Hey, look,
I'm just saying,
he's already getting more screen time than I am.
Well, he just knows everything, well, it seems like.
I know.
Every time Van Helsing says something to us about Dracula, I feel like, yes, I can absolutely trust
you
this
like
as
him.
Accurate.
You like him better than me.
Now, hold on.
No, wait a minute, you do. You like him better than me.
Now, hold on. How is Philo ever going to get better if we don't let Van Helsing let him
That's
drive
true.
For a little bit?
That's true.
And plus,
I need to recharge. I do this for a little bit, and I get so tired, so I have a bit of a
rant. Man, me too, bud.
I got to cool down.
See, him saying that, it feels to me like that's true. That's very true, it seems like. Just him saying it, I can really buy it.
Oh, so
I don't want to be in this shit tunnel anymore. I don't want to, like,
go.
Yeah.
All right.
This sucks. Fine.
You
Even
all.
Though we know that you'd rather be in the shit tunnel with Abraham Van Helsing.
Hey, Philo.
What?
I think Van Helsing is kind of a pompous ass when it comes to monster killers, and he does it for glory, and I do it for purpose. So don't you worry, man. Even though you're religious, I don't hold that against you. And you're the interim Turbo Cardinal. He ain't. And
who knows? You might pay off. Maybe we'll run into some pub trivia or something.
Yeah, maybe. Man.
Sure, fine. Let's go.
Van Helsing doesn't know sports.
That's true.
Yes, I am the only fantasy bootfall player on the team.
All right. Yes. I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about tempo.
And with us is special guest, J.K. Simmons.
That's not
my tempo.
Well, no.
It's not my tempo.
Have him say, like, that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo. Okay, now J.K.,
say,
you can
now
leave.
Make him say, now make him say, wait, Griffin's. Make him say, Griffin's the best. And
Griffin's
also
the
make
best.
Him,
give me pictures of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you
He's
doing
the He's on
the voice.
Headphones.
Okay.
He's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay.
He's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
Can
mean?
Can you just do a normal advertisement? Can you do like a normal, just do a normal ad?
Okay. So yeah, I'm a busy guy and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have like 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about five spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, yes.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always like try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready like really, really fast.
And even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah, I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to tempomeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" It's like a captcha. It's like, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" And it tests you. And if it's not, then it'll be like, "Get the fuck out of here." Get the fuck out of here. This is for JK only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to tempomeals.com/adventure. That's tempomeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. Tempomeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this.
Yeah.
A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style.
180.
Sure. Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 108. I do just want to say that the flat is 108.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah.
And yes. The elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. No. It's comfortable like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No, it's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle,
in the mid space.
It's the perfect balance. The in the Shadowlands. And it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like
advanced
me.
Advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah.
You're a chill hybrid.
Yeah. Half Travis, half electric.
Go to lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's LEESA.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
People say not to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
Which is why here on Just the Zoo of Us, we judge them by so much more.
We rate animals out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics, taking into consideration each animal's true strengths, like a pigeon's ability to tell a Monet from a Picasso or a polar bear's ability to play basketball.
Guest experts like biologists, ecologists, and more join us to share their unique insight into the animal's world.
Listen with friends and family of all ages on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin.
And together we are The Flophouse, a long-running podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
And because we're so long-running, maybe you haven't given us a chance. I get it, but you don't actually have to know anything about previous episodes to enjoy us, and I promise you that if you find our voices irritating, we grow endearing over time.
Perhaps you listened to one of our old episodes and decided that we were dumb and immature. Well, we've been doing this a while now. We have become smarter and more mature, and generally nicer to Dan.
But we are only human, so no promises.
Find The Flophouse on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
You all then proceed up the spiral staircase reach a door. Leading deeper into the castle at the top of this staircase. There is a narrow sort of window through the door through which you can see into the room beyond. It is a sort of kitchenette / dining room area. Very small, very modest, you don't see any signs of movement sort of through this narrow window, but this room does not seem to be occupied.
How many table settings are there?
Interesting. There's like a dozen table settings.
Unused?
Used.
Give me a perception check if you're trying to scoop this room out before you hit it.
Quick check to see if I can detect food scraps on plates.
It's a crit fail from Mutt, which we don't usually get on these perceptions.
Got a six.
What about you, Philo?
Philo can beat that. Philo got a seven.
Well, the seven is actually
my eight. How is my eight with a critical fail? My eight is the highest of the three.
The three of us are just like taking dishes back out of the sink. Like, these look fine.
Put them away. They're smelling them.
They're clean. I don't know. I don't know.
With those very bad rolls, you are not able to glean a ton from this side of the door. You do see some table settings. I will say with that perception check, you smell sort of rotten food. This wasn't used for lunch today.
Okay, I go in and start looting the table for anything that looks valuable.
Okay.
A very Lady Godwin thing to do.
Yeah. Got like stuff like weapons, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's just silverware.
Ooh.
The staff doesn't pay for themselves, guys. I gotta get a little do-re-mi somehow.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Griffin, how many mortar and pestle and like little like scales are there that I can shove in my bag and perhaps sell later?
Nothing like that. What you see on this table is some dishes and flatware in a state of disrepair. You assume it's not silver. Looking around, you sort of get a clearer picture of the fact that this was sort of the staff dining room and not perhaps Dracula's dining room. This is not a huge fancy space. The flatware around here has fairly rusted, and you see there's a few plates still covered by like cloches, but those that are exposed, the food here is quite foul. If you would like to loot the cutlery and the dishes,
it's a little late in the game.
Too loud.
Okay.
Yeah. I would. I wanted to use an investigation check to look at the name placards. You said there were.
I didn't say there were name placards.
You said there were place markers.
I said there were set table settings. People, you know.
Okay, so there are no
names
placards.
How many doors are there out of the room? Not counting the one we just came in.
Yeah, so there's one on the northern wall, one on the western wall, and there's also a window on the south end of the room overlooking sort of the castle wall outside, the wall walk wrapping around the building. Through it, you can see sort of the jagged battlements on that wall. I will add that to your field vision here.
I would like to take a listen at the west wall, at the west door.
The western door, okay.
Yeah, I see what I can hear from beyond it.
Okay. You begin to walk towards the western door. As you reach sort of around the table, you did not notice because of your really bad perception checks. A couple of the pieces of flatware rattle as you move past. They begin to move quite quickly as you approach the top end of the table here, and you see it almost like they're trying to stand up on end. Different forks and knives and plates. You see a cup that has been knocked over try to right itself, but they are moving very, very slowly and clumsily. And then at the center of the table, you see a spatula finally manage to climb up from the tabletop. And it does a couple hops in your direction, Mutt, and then you hear it speak or perhaps sing, and it says, "Eat our food. Eat our food. It's so tasty and it's good. It's got vitamins and minerals. You must believe me, dude."
Mutt kneels down.
We've got snacks. We've got pies. We're all super yummy, guys. It's delicious and nutritious. Don't believe me. The dishes.
Eat the dish. Sorry, man. Did you say eat the dishes?
Go in. Gotta finish. Monster. I have to finish. We've got
this is
meat.
Still in the room we're in, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
We got meats. We've got cakes. You're allergic. Dims the brakes. To refuse this little offer would be rude. Make eating us a habit or you will get stabbed. Eat our food, eat our food, eat our food.
Hey, Godwin and Philo, I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure if we don't eat the food that's here on the table, we're going to get stabbed.
Bonjour. Bonjour and welcome to the greatest meal of your life. Please have a seat.
Is the door still closed?
What's that?
This is all in the dining room still where we are.
Yeah, you're all still definitely in the dining room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please, time to, yummy time. Time to eat the food.
Or
I'm sorry, could we have some fresh food? This food looks as though it's gone off.
As you say that, you see a steak knife at the far end of the table rattle and then stand to attention quite quickly.
I mean, you remember the part about the song about being rude?
Yeah, no, we'll, yeah, yeah. This
okay,
food's
so
great.
What do I see right now? How much, like, living silverware am I looking at?
I mean, a lot of stuff on this table is moving. Right now, the only things that have managed to climb to their feet is this spatula who sang and one steak knife on the end of the table.
Okay, I rush to the edge and flip the table.
Oh, what? Wow. Okay, kick ass. Give me a strength check.
Hey, Griffin, can I do a contested roll against Justin for Mutt to grab a plate before the table flips?
A plate of food?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Let's see how the strength check goes first, and then we'll see what the response is going to be. Oh, boy, that's 17. Pretty good. Okay, with a 17, you manage to, you start to flip the table over. There are some chairs, some heavy chairs on the other side that kind of catch it. However, as you do that, most of the stuff that is on the table just begins to slide off the end. If you want to try and grab a plate before it crashes to the floor, Mutt, you are more than welcome
to do so. Yeah, I want to try to grab one of the ones with the cloche still on it.
Give me a sleight of hand check, please. We're looking for a 10 or above.
Well, that's a crit, Griffin.
Oh, damn!
Whoa!
All right. Sheesh. Yeah, you know what? You grab a couple. You managed to grab a couple of plates before they fall to the ground. I need everyone right now to give me a perception check, please.
Could I do investigation?
That's a 12,
eight.
Griffin.
Eight.
12.
Okay. Philo.
Here it is.
13.
Ooh. Okay. Mutt and Philo, you hear from the battlement wall outside, this like this walkway that wraps around the castle. You hear heavy metallic clunking coming from that direction, and you hear it in a pattern that suggests footsteps. Godwin, you see the spatula kind of like right itself. He says,
"What the hell, man? All you had to do was eat the food. Why did you do that?"
The steak knife begins to hop around the edge of the table towards Mutt.
I sit down on the ground and set down one plate and open the cloche of one plate.
You open the cloche of one plate and give me a D4 roll. Let's see which one you got.
That's this weird little, it's like a triangle with a bunch of squares on the bottom. It's a 4.
Okay, cool. You open up the cloche and you are greeted by a wave of bad stinky smell that is quite unpleasant. When you look down, you see a plate that at one point probably contained a delectable serving of steak tartare. However, this was many moons ago, and the meat here has dried up considerably, and now has just sort of formed this wrinkly tapestry of jerky across the plate.
I'm going to do a stealth check to pretend to eat.
Okay. Give me... Well, this would be a sleight of hand check.
Okay.
You're not hiding from the steak.
That's a 21.
Hell yeah. All right, 21. You managed to...
Can I keep smashing plates while he's doing whatever he's doing?
Yeah, let's resolve this first.
No, Griffin, let's not, because I flipped the table, and then he did all this business. I need to be still smashing plates when this is happening. I have a direction I'm heading.
Okay.
This is, you can't rein me in like this.
First, before we do that, I want to know how you are sneaking this old jerk.
I've got my head turned sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm bringing the fork up and pretending like it's going in my mouth, but I'm going behind my face going, yummy.
You missed one over here. There's one over here.
Okay, when that happens, the steak knife hops around you, Mutt, not worrying about a thing and making its way towards Godwin. Godwin, I know you're going to continue smashing the table. Philo, what are you doing while this is happening?
I want to grab the spatula.
Okay. You are going to need to give me a... he's not moving very fast. I will say just a dexterity check will get you towards the spatula.
Okay, so how come when Godwin grabbed plates, it was sleight of hand?
Yes,
okay.
This is just to get up on the table and grab him. So
okay, yeah. And that would be another 13.
That's fine.
13.
13 definitely does it. This is a slow spatula. You manage to jump up onto the table as Godwin is sort of smashing all the things off of it and grab hold of the spatula.
Don't use me. Don't use me as a spatula. It sucks. Please.
Don't use as a spatula?
What do you want?
Wait, nothing. I just...
you grabbed me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to hopefully communicate with you. But, you know, whatever.
And he sticks the spatula in his belt.
Okay. As you do that, another steak knife pops up to attention on the table and is going to take a swipe at you. That is a 12 versus AC.
My armor class is 12.
Okay, that is a hit. It jabs into your shoulder, sticking into the wood there slightly. You take 3 points of piercing damage from this knife as it stabs you.
Done and done.
Godwin.
Yes.
You're just continuing to go beast mode on this table?
I'll grab a plate and take a look at him for a second before I smash him. What's his deal?
Like, grab a plate of food or grab a plate that's just sort of skipping around?
Yeah, grab one of the living plates and be like, what's their story?
Okay.
I'm not trying to smash the living stuff. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
The only way you know
the
how.
The only way Godwin knows how.
Right. You pick up the plate. It's a plate. There's no face or anything on it. Give me an insight check as you try to read the demeanor of this moving dinner plate.
14.
Okay, as you reach down to pick up this plate, it rattles on the table. You can tell that it is moving, it is alive, but you also can tell it is rattling because that heavy metal stomping sound is getting closer. As you pick up the plate, you hear it say, it is coming from the walkway outside the window on the southern wall. You hear this plate say, oh God, he's coming, he's coming. Everyone,
coming.
Chill! The plates and silverware fall down, deactivated as the stomping gets louder.
I will hide under the table.
Yeah, Mutt's gonna do that too.
Philo?
Yeah. Under the table we go.
All right, we're gonna take a group stealth check here, please.
13.
Eight.
13. Okay. You all had the help of this table, which is great. Because you managed to get under there with all of these now inert plates and knives and forks and one spatula through the window. The light of the moon, vanishes, and you see a figure take shape outside. It is enormous. It is a hulking humanoid beast wearing thick, rusted iron armor. Through the cracks in that armor, you can see that its form is undulating and just leaking blood from the cracks.
Cool.
Inside, you can hear pained, deep breathing coming from within this armor. This figure comes, peers in the room, looks around, sees some of the dishes on the floor. It stays there, looks around for a while, and then walks back out of view from the window. The spatula says,
"That was a close one."
Hey, man, who was that?
I don't think I should tell you. He's sort of security here, and I feel like maybe you guys are here to do some bad stuff.
You don't know that, man.
I am so sorry. I misinterpreted your intentions. I thought we were in peril, and I overreacted, and I want to apologize for that. I think if you'll look, I intentionally didn't smash anything with a face.
There's
I guess we've both learned something about making snap judgments today.
You see a teacup that is hopping around a broken teapot saying, "Mama! Mama, get up, Mama!
She was broken before.
Mama, get up, you were
broken! Shoddy craftsmanship. Oh, look on the bottom. Made in the I'm trying to pick a bad country. What bad country is bad?
No, don't worry about it. Don't.
You know.
Yeah, don't. The bad one.
Offgrave.
Latvia. Which is the Dr. Doom one? That's a good one.
Latvia.
Yes. Latvia. No?
No.
Maybe.
Listen, you all should probably go. Like, if we get broken, we can just inhabit something else. But if you guys get broken, that's probably... Well, wait, holy shit, one of you's a puppet. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, man.
So do you...
Spatchy,
you're
very observant. Very observant.
Thanks. Can you take me out of your belt, please?
No, I think I'm going to hang on to you.
You can't do that, man. That's like a living guy.
It's a spatula. It's a talking spatula.
It's actually got a point. I'm not alive by the traditional definition.
Yes.
Were you a guy at some point?
No, this isn't one of those.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to hang on to you, Spatchy.
I wish you wouldn't.
I know.
Well, oh, man.
I tell you what. Tell us about the big, clanking, bloody creature, and I'll put you back on the table. You have my word as a man of the cloth.
As a blackmailer.
Okay. That's Renfield. He used to be sort of Dracula's number one guy. And then he sort of, when Frankenstein kind of moved in, he sort of became Dracula's number one test subject. And so he's had a few different experiments done. He used to be chill. He would come in here and we'd like shoot the shit or whatever. But now he is that, and he just is sort of a sentry for the castle, and he's like immortal and invincible.
Mm. Yes.
100% invincible, or sort of basically invincible, or where are we at?
Man, you're asking a spatula.
Okay, well, you can't have it both ways. Either you're a belt adornment or you're a sentient being.
Yeah.
You need to pick a lane.
Spatula, is it one of those things where it's like invincible in the truest sense of the word, where he can't be beaten in fight, or invincible, like invulnerable and he can't be hurt?
He says, "What? Some thieves broke into the castle a few months ago, and he gestures over to the wall, the northern wall by the door, where you just see three just enormous blood splatters. And he says, "That was them."
Okay.
So, and it didn't seem like they really got a hit off. So, I'm just an ordinary southern spatula, but
I
can't.
You
do
don't
that
know
the
waves.
The game,
I understand. Well, Spatchy, I'm going to honor my word and put you back down on the table.
Thanks.
Is there any particular place on the table where you'd like to be?
No, it's all fine. It's all fine with me, man. I'm a spatula, so I'm not gonna... Okay.
I'll put you right here next to the plate that looks like it could hold flapjacks, if there were flapjacks.
Oh, that's actually my ex-girlfriend. Oh. So if you could put me somewhere else.
Okay, I'll put you down here next to the gravy boat.
Would that romantic?
No, not the gravy boat.
Oh, do I have a romantic history with the gravy boat?
A soup tureen? Are you cool with the soup tureen?
Yeah, actually, soup tureen's pretty cool.
Hey, Spatchy, we're looking at a west door and a north door. Can you tell us what's through those doors? Do you know?
No, I don't have eyes, so I can't see.
Now, hold on.
What?
You've pointed out a lot of stuff. He was a puppet, Renfield, through blood splatters. You could see.
Did you like my song?
Oh, my God.
I made it myself.
I guess I'll put you back over there next to the gravy pot.
Okay, fine. The north door, there's always music coming from in there. And then in the west door, I don't know. Anytime they open it up, it's like super bright.
Very good. You're a good spatula. You're a good utensil.
Thanks. I'm so tired.
What do you think of Godwin? Bright room or music room?
A bit of music sounds nice.
Okay.
You all make your way to the northern door. As you go to open it,
Hey, just to be clear, which door did the beast go out of?
The beast was outside.
The window. Okay, right. Yes, I keep forgetting. It's south. He didn't. Yeah. Okay.
He did not come in. As you go to open the northern door, you can only kind of get it open a crack before it hits something big and heavy on the other side that seems to be blocking its further progress. Through that little narrow crack, you can see a much fancier room than the one you are currently in. There's I'll reveal a little bit of it to you. Through that narrow crack, you can see what look like some long shelves filled with just these reams of paper. You can see a piano that is positioned in front of a grand fireplace. What is on the other end of the door, you can't quite tell because it has sort of pinned it somewhat shut, but that is what you can see through the crack.
Is the gap big enough for Philo to go through?
No, it's like a half inch.
Can we open it? Is there something holding the door from opening all the way, or are we just peeking?
There's something holding it from opening all the way on the other side.
Oh, I'll push harder.
Okay, give me a strength check.
Oh, 11.
You push and push, and the door starts to budge a little bit, and then there is a sickening...
Oh, shit. Okay, I stop. If it's sickening, I'm stopping. I stopped. Fine. You fucking weirdo. Whatever you did back there, Griffin. Jeez, man.
That noise?
What is that weird? What?
The noise I made?
No, yeah. Whatever you've got behind there, man. It's groaning now? I've got the wig and something.
Sorry. It groaned as if something's scratching across a stone floor. There's not like a big monster holding the door back there. That's
okay,
like, oh,
and then
no.
I'm like sad. Crushing. It felt like somebody was stuck behind it and I was crushing them.
Jesus Christ. No, that's where you're.
You made the noise,
mind.
Man.
You made the noise and you said it was sickening. So yes, I was sickened.
Okay. You hear footsteps outside again. As you start to try to force this door open.
Back to the table. I'm back to the table.
Okay.
Yep, back to the table. Everybody back to the table.
Back to the table. Let's regroup.
Group stealth check.
So bright room, you think? Or
Wait, we got to do the group stealth check first. We got to see how well we get under the table.
Okay. That's my fourth 13.
Yeah, that's weird, man. That's not good. Stay off the roads today, pal.
That was a 17 from Godwin?
Yes.
Okay, then again, 13 takes it. You all get under the table. This time, Renfield stomps around outside, is really looking very intently in the room, but eventually he does take a step away and walk out of sight.
Oh, well, I'm under the table and dreaming of the bright room.
Yes, let's do the bright room, man. That'd be nice.
Okay, you all head towards the western door and find it. Unjammed.
Oh, thank goodness.
You all.
It would be weird for our adventure to end here because we couldn't open the doors.
You all open the door and see a ballroom. This ballroom is has a fine wooden floor. And
I want to jump in the balls and swim around.
Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing.
Oh my gosh, this is
embarrassing for you. It's not that kind of ballroom. It's like a dancing ballroom. You all need to make a wisdom saving throw immediately.
That's a crit.
Holy shit, yes.
Wow, great job,
I just got smarter.
Way to go, buddy.
You just yoded your way right the hell out of that.
I begin to hover.
Oh my God, I'm so wise too. Look at me. 18.
Look how
18.
Wise you are. Yeah. Jeez.
Bring it mine's home, Dan.
Mine's a one.
Dan?
It is.
Mac?
It's a one.
It can't be Mac.
That's a series wrap on Philo.
Two minus one.
You've done this with the dice.
Oh, okay, but it wasn't a crit fail.
Oh, wait. I have something.
Yes, you do.
That I can roll again if I have a one.
Do you remember what that thing is?
Yes, it was the luck. The luck thing that I got from Van Helsing.
You hear Van Helsing's voice ring out in your mind. Steal yourself, Philo. You're going to see some creepy stuff in here. You can do this. You may roll again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take the second result.
Five.
Never mind.
It is better.
You step foot into the ballroom. Ongrave is a scary place filled with scary things, but there's one constant you've been able to count on so far. There's no such thing as ghosts. And yet here, in this modest wood-floored ballroom, a half dozen specters are floating in pairs, ballroom dancing, rotating around each other, just prancing across the floor with grace and ease. Philo, you are immediately frightened.
With my crit, Griffin, can I ask, as the little bonus reward for getting crit, I would like to hold Philo's hand.
Just as a treat? As a special treat?
Well, when you get a crit, Griffin, I don't know if you know this. I know this is your first time DMing.
You get a little treat. It says that in the rules. Gygax said you get a little treat when you do.
You get a little treat, and I would like to hold Philo's hand, please.
Okay.
Let's do it in narrative.
I got you. Give me that little wooden maw of yours. Come here.
His maw?
Okay, I got you.
His maw's
You're grabbing his mouth?
I think you mean paw. Paw.
Yeah, man. Give me that little paw of yours. I got you, bud. Hold my hand, man. You're safe.
Okay. I will say, as long as you're holding his hand, you can ignore the frightened condition that you can't willingly move closer to the source of your fear. However, you do have disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of your fear is within line of sight. You all see six ghosts dancing around each other, just sort of spinning around in the center of this room. You see a door to the north, a couple more windows to the south overlooking the battlements outside. That is what you see at first blush as you walk into this room.
Griffin, does my lantern reveal anything invisible?
Let me think. This is kind of a stretch. I think if you wanted to try and do a check to like see if you can learn more about these ghosts, I would give you advantage on it with your lantern.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'll do that. So investigation?
Yes, or if you wanted to do arcana, I would say either one of those would be.
The same number. That's a 14. And that's a 5. So we're going to go with a 14.
Okay. With a 14, nothing sort of invisible reveals itself to you. I will say that the light of the lantern is glinting off of the chandelier that is hanging from the ceiling. You see, it's sort of just like right at the center of the room, a good 10 feet up. Just sort of spinning around as these specters revolve. I'll also say, with that roll, You also notice that the lantern glints off of the wall on the opposite end of the room, and there's one section of it, one sort of square panel of it, that it seems to be a bit duller than the, or perhaps more dull than the rest of the wall. A panel that doesn't look quite like the other ones.
And the sort of the ghosts are between it and us?
Dancing around in a big circle.
Huh. Dancing around in a big circle.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah, go for it, little dude.
Why don't we join the dance?
Well, I can. I recognize the steps, of course. This is rather basic, but what about the two of you?
Oh, I took cotillion, man.
Is that so?
Yeah, man.
But then why don't the two of you join the dance until you can get into position near that panel? And I'll stand here quaking in fear and trying to come to...
Well, you hang on my back. How about you hang on my back, man, and then I'll...
I don't think he wants to do that, it seems.
No, I actually do. I do.
Oh, great.
I'll climb on his back and you two dance until we get over there near the panel. Is that all?
Yeah, sounds great. Godwin, may I have this dance?
Yeah, right away.
Amazing. You all... You all wait.
Oh, wait. Mutt, may I lead?
Oh, sure. Yeah, man.
You all wait for your window as these specters move and dance around. And I'm going to need a performance check from both of you.
Well, yes.
But with advantage, because Mutt did take cotillion.
No.
I got a 12.
Okay.
Very dignified and fancy 12.
You all step onto the dance floor.
I got a 5.
And for a few beats, you immediately synchronize with these spirits floating in the air, mimicking their moves. You're just trying to make it to the other end of the room, right?
Yes.
Okay. You all are doing incredibly well with Philo on Mutt's back or Godwin's back?
Mutt's back.
Okay.
That way he's still in contact with me and able to move closer to them.
Awesome. You all nearly make it to the other end of the room when you step on a wooden board that snaps beneath your weight, Mutt. And in the time that it takes you to sort of pull yourselves out of it and sort of hug that western wall, one of the couple of specters runs right into you. Mutt, and as a result also Philo, you both take 8 points of radiant damage. You just feel...
Radiant?
You feel your skin just sort of sizzle as these ghosts pass through you, burning you. Godwin, you take 4 points as you just kind of get nicked by them as they pass by. However, you are able all to make it to the other end of the room. And the specters continue their circular dance with no sort of paying no heed to you.
Can Philo's going to do an investigation check on the panel.
Smart. Smart. That's better than the plan I was about to do.
Can I guess? Smashing?
You may do that. You will have disadvantage on this ability check as you are still within line of sight of the thing that is scaring you.
I think we all could investigate, right?
Sure.
Well, 14.
13.
Another 13.
I got a 10.
Okay. No, I mean, the 13 is sufficient. You've already noticed this panel. I think with your tiny, nimble wooden fingers, you are able to pop it open. And inside, you see a small recess with a dial on it, a circular dial. You can see that there's an arrow on this dial pointing to one notch, several notches down the dial, you see a setting that says idle.
Is there music they're dancing to?
There is not music that they are dancing to.
Idle, like I-D-L-E?
Yes, sorry, yes, not I-D-O-L. They're not going to fucking Kelly Clarkson's not going to appear if you
wish.
At least Justin.
I turn it to idol.
Okay. You begin to turn the dial. As you click through the notches, the scene in here changes instantly, like the changing of a television channel. You see these six ghosts disappear suddenly, and then you see the chandelier above you glow with an even brighter amber light that somewhat starts to sear the room, but you click out of it fast enough for it not to do much damage. You see on one notch, you see it the chandelier appear to sprout one giant eyeball that hangs from it. Does this change as the room changes? I guess these are several settings that you are switching between. Are you just trying to like get to idle as quick as you possibly can, or are you checking these things out as the room is kind of changing?
I mean, there's a certain curiosity.
Okay.
Especially, I think once the ghosts go away on the first click,
yeah,
then it's like, oh, okay. And I think then it's not like I'm going to sit in here for 5 minutes on each setting, but I think there's definitely an element of, well, what's this now?
As you stop to investigate on the notch right next to changing this setting to idle, you see the chandelier's amber light flash once more, and then a single figure appears right here in the middle of the ballroom. It is a man. He is flickering somewhat as it appears that the light above is creating him, is projecting him somehow. And this figure looks at the three of you and smiles. And that's when you realize that you recognize him. And this figure says,
"Hello, welcome to the city of Lumino. My name is Robert Halloween."
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.